Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today, we're going to conclude our two-part interview with Paul Moore. Paul is the co-founder of Wellings Capital. It's a commercial multifamily investment firm. He's also the author of the book, The Perfect Investment, Create Enduring Wealth from the Historic Shift. And he's been sharing with us some financial aspects of what we can do as far as personal and as businesses to go ahead and go to that next level and plan for our financial future. Today, he's also talking to us, and we're going to start off the questioning about George Mueller and George Mueller's approach to financial fundraising and financial wealth. Now, here is the conclusion of our interview with Paul Moore.
And your listeners are probably very familiar with George Mueller, but for the few that aren't, he was a hellion turned pastor, evangelist, missionary that lived pretty much through the whole 19th century. And he moved from Germany to England, and he ended up in Bristol, England, where he housed a total of, I believe, up to 10,000 total orphans while he had his orphanages in Bristol, England. But he did it all on faith. He never asked for money. He never advertised. He never took up a collection. He just trusted that God would bring the money in, and bring the money in he did. God, we believe he raised something like $200 million in today's dollars during his time there. And if you do the math on 10,000 orphans, it might have been more than that. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, I thought, what would George do? Well, first of all, George Mueller wouldn't be in debt. Mm. Well, I was already in trouble on that point, but I couldn't change that. So I thought, what would George do if he did somehow end up in $2.5 million of debt? And I thought, well, he would start doing something outrageous. And so I told my friends, I said, guys, I'm not going to declare bankruptcy. I'm going to give my way out of debt. Mm. And they looked at me funny, just like your listeners are probably listening to me funny right now. And they said, you're going to what? I said, we're going to give our way out of debt. We're going to start giving aggressively. And I mean more than tithing, way more than tithing. We're going to start to give a set amount of money every week until God jumps in and rescues us. And I believe God's spoken to me, and I believe we're going to be rescued. Just watch. And so I told my family the same thing. My wife was, of course, old enough to understand what I meant, and it was terrifying to her as a 40-year-old. My kids were all, you know, in their teens or down to 4 years old, and they just looked at me funny. And so we started giving aggressively January 1st, 2008, and every week we wrote a check to our church or to a local or to an international nonprofit we were excited about, like a mission organization. And we gave quite aggressively. And through the month of January, it was painful, but we kept doing it. And about the end of January, the last week in January, I was at a Subway restaurant. All these good things happen in restaurants, I guess. And I met a real estate developer there, and I told him I said, I got 5 acres of waterfront property. I was hoping to subdivide it into 5 1-acre lots, but I can't, and the zoning won't allow it. And he said, well, what if you did this? And he told me about a certain loophole in the law. And I said, oh, yeah, I know about that. That won't work. And here's why it won't work. And he said, yeah, you're right. Well, you still should think about it, because what if you did this? And he mentioned another little twist to the law. And it was as if a light bulb from heaven went on right then. And I said, oh, my goodness, I just had an idea. And it wasn't even his idea exactly. It was a different idea. And so I called my surveyor, who was a follower of Jesus, and he just shook his head. And he's like, you've got to be kidding. That's crazy. Well, we'll run it by the county planning and zoning people. So we did. We sat down with them 2 days later. We went over the plan, and the lady looked at me over her glasses with a little twisted smile and said something like, I've been working here for whatever, 20, 30, 40, whatever years. And she said, I have never heard such an outlandish proposal, or somebody trying to use the law that, well, I just, And then she paused and she said, "You're actually right." She said, "You found a loophole in the law that for some reason nobody in all these decades has found."
Wow.
Yes, you can do this.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, there was a lot of pain, a lot of sweat, a lot of hard work, a lot of money on lawyers and surveyors and banks ahead of me. But 13 months later, Bob, we were completely debt free.
Amen. Amen.
And the crazy thing is this happened right in the height of the recession. I mean, we sold three or four of the lots of these 5 1-acre lots right when the the very weeks the crash was happening. Yeah. Nobody was buying waterfront resort lots in that time. Wow. And it didn't even occur to me how amazing it was till I stepped back later and saw what God had done.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, that is awesome. I mean, that is definitely, you know, the wisdom of God being imparted to you to catch that and to understand. Oh, yeah. You know, and I could just picture that little lady sitting there, that smile, like, why didn't nobody else ever see this? You know?
Yeah, it's crazy. Awesome. She said that. Awesome. And our surveyor was, you know, like, he was just amazed as well. But I want to go on, and I've never shared this publicly. And I hesitate to do so. I don't want to discourage anybody, but I feel like I should. You asked earlier about give some more, then God will bless you. Mm-hmm. So I've been, you know, as an entrepreneur, I've had big ups and big downs. And I've had other times since then where our back was against the wall financially. And so we gave outrageously again. And these were times where I didn't sense like I heard from God that I did that time. I heard, what would George Mueller do? Mm-hmm. And by the way, I forgot to tell you, my pastor that morning preached on George Mueller, and he'd never mentioned him before, to my knowledge. So there have been other times since then, in the 11 years since then, that I have given, and nothing really happened. And I didn't really sense, at least at the time. I mean, we were rescued. We obviously are here. We didn't default on any credit cards or loans or bankrupt or anything. We didn't do anything like that. And so we were rescued, but there wasn't the outpouring of heaven and wisdom and rescue and, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars coming in like there was after that event. So my takeaway on that is, you know, God's going to speak to you and deal with you differently in every season. He's going to deal with every person differently. And that's when I really realized, you know, wait, God's not a vending machine. He's not just going to allow me to put a quarter in and get a candy bar out. He's going to deal. He wants my heart. He wants my obedience. And honestly, obedience for me at certain times, I don't know, it might've been just tithing instead of trying to do 50% or whatever.
Right.
And so I think I learned a valuable lesson through that, and that is God, again, he wants relationship. He's a good, good father. He's better than we could ever know, so we need to change what we know.
Yeah, amen. What I was referencing was, you know, you'll see it sometimes, you know, if watching the Christian programs and stuff, they'll say, God tells me that someone, if you sow $10,000 right now, he has a blessing for you. And I'm like, really? Are you saying that because God said that, or because you're trying to get somebody to give $10,000? That's what I was talking about, you know.
So
I absolutely believe that you cannot outgive God.
Right.
And you know, I believe that with all my heart. And what you just said proves it, you know, that you gave your way out. And it wasn't because, well, I'm just going to give it all away and what happens. You were giving, saying, God, I'm putting myself out there. I'm just trusting you with this. And he honors that kind of faith. You know, God will honor that. Amen. Now, you use some of the resources God's blessed you with in certain areas of society that doesn't get very much attention. And specifically, I'm talking about human trafficking and rescuing some of these victims. Tell us about this special calling God's given you in that area.
You know, Bob, it shocked me to find this out. There's an organization out there called Exodus Cry. ExodusCry.com, if you want to look them up. They went around the world and they shot 800 hours of film footage of human trafficking victims and prostitutes and all kinds of horrible things around the world. It's really hard to watch. And I met with the founder of Exodus Cry who made that film. And he said, you know, that was the PG film. He's got some R-rated films coming up, and he has since then put out one of those. And it's very, very painful. But I'll tell you what I learned from that is, did you know that if you took the record profits, and I don't mean the average profits, the record profits of Apple, General Motors, Nike, and Starbucks, combined those record profits together and doubled that number, that's the approximate annual revenues generated by human trafficking.
Oh, wow.
It's horrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I want to believe that if I would have been alive in the mid-1800s in America, I would have been fighting against slavery. I would have been an abolitionist. And if I would have been an adult in the 1960s, I want to believe I'd be fighting for civil rights. Well, this is a civil rights. Yeah. This is this is slavery. It's not making headlines. It's not causing a civil war, but it is, like you say, it's overlooked and it's a horror and it's happening right under our noses.
Yeah.
And so my goal in my life would be to raise awareness of this on podcasts like this, and also to tell the world, you know, hey, we need to get involved. I don't want to go to my grave not having been involved in this. And I want to say to people, hey, look into this. You're probably living near an interstate highway and you're probably thinking, yeah, I heard that this is a big area where human trafficking happens. I hear that from all over the country, from Houston and LA and Austin and Chicago. I hear people say, yeah, we're a big hub for human trafficking. Well, the thing is, it's probably true because it's happening all around us. And so, but it's happening around the world as well. And so there are estimated 30 to 40 million direct victims of this horror. And the indirect victims, the parents, the family, friends, et cetera, is, you know, probably innumerable. And so I am dedicating my desire is to raise awareness and raise $1 billion in my lifetime. Amen. To fight this great evil.
Amen. That's an awesome goal. Amen. Now, I've interviewed a few guests over the past couple of years that I'm actually thinking of one right now who actually lost, some have lost friends and loved ones, but the one I'm thinking about right now lost a friend. It was about 20 years ago. She was 18 years old at the time, I believe. And she'd just gone out for a bike ride, you know, her little bike ride workout, you know, riding around the park or whatever, and never came home. And all they ever found was her bike on the side of the road. And 7 or 8 years later, they got some information through a rumor mill or something that she was taken to Saudi Arabia, you know, and sold to some Saudi oil guru or something. You know, they could never get any further definite information to try and get her back. But, you know, I mean, this has been going on a while. This isn't like something that's new. This has been going on a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's a travesty. It really is in this day and age. But like you said, nobody is talking about it. You know, nobody. How are you helping to get the word out to make a difference in this area?
Well, every time I speak publicly, whether it's on a show like this, a podcast, or speaking in person, I do my best to try to work this in and mention it. And people are always shocked, but you can do the math yourself. Yeah. It is true. And it's a travesty.
Mm. Now, do you have a foundation or something like that that you're using to help raise money on that, or how's that working?
I have a nonprofit organization people could donate to, and we would give 100% of it over to organizations. But honestly, it's just as efficient or maybe more efficient and transparent that people just give directly to these organizations. And so I recommend that people give to exoduscry.com. And Benjamin Nolo is the head of that. Benjamin did the film, and Benjamin also testified before the United Nations about a year and a half ago about this, and you can see that online. I also like an organization, you can just find their website, harvesthome.org. Harvesthome.org, Danny and Rhonda Calhoun are doing an amazing job rescuing victims and giving them new hope and new life in Jesus. And so it's a very exciting ministry, and they're both near Kansas City, and they both were kind of raised up out of the IHOP prayer room, the 24/7 prayer room there.
Amen. Amen. Have you worked any with law enforcement in this area, or is it just through these couple of nonprofits? Or?
I'm actually working with a guy in Southern California who has spent the last 8 years working on software to try to find ads that are likely human traffickers, trying to trap people through Craigslist and through other ads. He's found certain ways of analyzing these ads to figure out which ones are likely going to be trying to victimize people in trafficking. So he has done a great job with that. We've supported him. We've referred him to a lot of other people, and he's trying to develop this. He's working with a lot of law enforcement agencies now. Now, I'm also working with an amazing woman of God named Dr. Judith Reisman, R-E-I-S-M-A-N. She is at Liberty University. Jerry Falwell brought her in a long, long time ago. She's got a huge office and a library there at Liberty University where she has an incredible amount of research, the many books she has written about the foundations underpinning human trafficking and the horrors of it. She's about 84 years old. I just had dinner over with her, and we sat at her table for almost 7 hours talking about this. And so she's a fiery woman of God who is done so much to help the world be aware of this horror.
This is a major, major hidden crime, like you said, is happening just under the nose. I mean, look at what was in the news most recently. Was the most famous one was the New England Patriots owner, and they found out, you know, these girls in there had been, you know, more or less in the same thing. You know, I mean, it goes on under your noses. Really, it really is. Here in the Baltimore, Maryland area, every couple of months you'll see the police making a bust down near the airport. Where you know, the same thing is going on, and it is just, you know, these people come to America with the promise of, you know, getting a job and all that, and then once they're here, you know, their passports are taken and they're basically held captive.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's terrible. Amen.
It really is.
What else is going on in your life, man?
So we have, since I last spoke to you, we decided to set up two private equity funds to allow investors to take advantage of the historic and incredible returns of multifamily investing. But we expanded from multifamily to self-storage and to mobile home parks. And so we, these two funds are, these two funds are available to invest in now. They're both available through wellingscapital.com. You can learn more about that at Wellings Capital. And so we are giving investors the opportunity to invest in these historically amazing opportunities that have stability, safety. And we're targeting a 15% return in one fund annually and 19% annual return in the other fund.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. Great. That's awesome. And you're just starting these now, or they've been going on a little bit?
We actually started these in January. We've been investing with these same operators a lot of last year. Okay, cool. But we started these specific funds in January, and we're having a great time. We've raised several million dollars in each so far.
Amen. Amen. And that's going to help out with people with the limited income housing and things like that, where, you know, they can't afford the McMansions or anything like that anymore.
Right, that's absolutely true, and there's so much I could say about that if we had time. So, I can tell you that they're very recession resistant people who, you know, that's basically the bottom level of housing, if you will, because the cost to go anywhere down from there is basically moving back into your parents', you know, basement. Right. And so it really, really is a tremendous, tremendous opportunity to invest in both of these asset classes.
Amen. Paul, I can tell God is using you in so many different ways. I mean, just from this brief conversation, we covered like three or four different areas that he is making sure that you are part of and you're leading the charge in these areas. This is awesome, man. I love it when I'm talking to someone who is sensitive to see God moving in their life like this and then obey. You know, a lot of times God will show somebody to do something, but you got the wrong guy. You know, the Moses syndrome. You
know? Right. Oh, yeah, that's so true. And you know what's interesting? I talked about relationship earlier. Think about what God said to Moses. Moses gave all his complaints, and he said, "Here's, you know, I can't do it for this reason. I can't do it for that reason." And what did God say? He said, "I'll be with you."
Exactly.
And I thought maybe maybe God didn't understand the question, or maybe there was a typo there. But I went back and read it. And what did he say again? "I'll be with you." Yeah. Hey, Moses was the one that God liked to be with. And guess who else is someone that God really likes to be with?
Us. He dwells in us.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
And so again, we have more access, and Paul says it specifically in 2 Corinthians, we have better access than Moses.
Amen. Yeah, I did a teaching on this a few weeks back on our radio program, and I was talking about Moses' staff. That staff is the only thing he owned.
You know,
he was living with his father-in-law, so the tent and stuff didn't belong to him. His wife was the father-in-law's daughters. The sheep he was taking care of was the father-in-law. The only thing he had was his staff. And God said, "What do you got?" He goes, "I just got a staff." And he said, "Throw it down." In other words, give it to me.
Yeah,
and he said once you gave it to him, then he turned into the snake and he fled. Like basically, when he fled, he's like, "You can have it. I'm done." You know, and he said, "Now pick it up, but pick it up by the tail." Well, nobody picks up a snake by the tail, you know.
Yeah,
and he said, "But trust him enough." He picked it up, turned back into a staff, and that's when he said, "I'll be with you." You know, if you question who you are, he said, "The staff." In other words, this staff will be your constant reminder that I'm with you.
Yeah,
take it with you everywhere he goes, and that's why at the Red Sea, he said, "God, what we do?" He said, "Why are you calling out to me? Hold up the staff."
Right.
That was he was like, "You forgot, I'm here with you. This is your representation. I'm here." Amen. Paul, it's been great catching up with you. Let's not wait another 2 years and 500 episodes to do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been great. This has been wonderful. I really appreciate you, Bob, and your ministry and everything that you're doing.
Amen. Well, I appreciate that. If someone wanted to reach out to you, we're going to do this again. If someone wanted to reach out to you, ask a question, maybe do an interview such as this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
You would want to go to wellingscapital.com. That's WellingsCapital.com.
Amen.
I got distracted there for a minute. I tried to misspell my own name. And so that number again. And if you want a prayer handkerchief, you need to call Brother Bob.
That's right. That's right.
I'm just kidding. I was trying to make a joke about the $10,000 investment earlier, but I didn't fit it in then, and now it's just too late. But anyway, I did have a friend the other day who actually got an offer for a prayer handkerchief in the mail, and this person said, "God's Holy Spirit told me to email you specifically," and it said "Dear Occupant" the letter.
Seriously. I had a lady show me that was, she's never been married in her life, right? Single.
Yeah.
And she's like 50 years old. And she showed me one and said, "Dear Mr. and Mrs. Smith," right? Yeah. And same thing, "I'm reaching out directly to you. You are on my mind." And she goes, "Well, if I was on his mind, why is he calling me Mr.?"
Right. That's great.
Amen. Now, we didn't even cover your book, The Perfect Investment. You want to talk about that real quick before we close?
Absolutely. So when I was getting excited about multifamily investing, I realized I didn't see any books out there that were talking exactly to the audience that I wanted to speak to, and that would be people who wanted to passively invest in large commercial scale projects. We're not talking about the Rockefellers or Vanderbilts because they can do it for cash, but people, like you and me who might want to be part of something bigger, something with historically wonderful, stable returns. And so we I wrote this book called The Perfect Investment, and it's allowing people to take advantage of this shift, the historic shift into multifamily housing that we have seen in this last decade or two. And so, and it's going to continue. So yeah. The book just tells people how, why that's happening, how to get involved, and gives them several options to jump in to the multifamily, and I would say in general to the commercial investing world.
Amen. And folks, I've read the book. It is great. I mean, it has some information in there that, you know, some of us, okay, heard that. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. There are some eye-opening moments in this book. You need to get this book. And I'll put the links to the book in the show notes as well.
Paul, thanks.
Thank you again for coming on the program. You know, I want to encourage you folks to support Paul, support the work in fighting human trafficking and rescuing these victims from such a horrific nightmare that they're enduring. And reach out to him. Ask how you can help. In addition, if you want to become more involved in taking control of your finances and still serve the Lord in doing so, reach out to him as well. His track record proves he is more success. He's more than successful in this area. He's called to help others achieve the same success. Amen. And you can't get any better than knowing you're called and being successful at the calling. Praise the Lord. Paul, thank you again for coming on the program, man. You've given us a lot to think about.
Thank you. Thank you. It was such an honor to be here.
Amen. We're praying for your continued success and your continued impact and whatever it is you're setting your hand to do for the Lord. Amen.
Awesome.
Folks, that is all the time we have for today. Glory to God. Paul, I keep telling myself I got to get this clock fixed because it seems to be running fast whenever I'm doing an interview. I just can't figure it out. But, you know, folks, that's all the time we have. For Paul Moore and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.